This congregation, the leadership has already made one fatal mistake. They've gave me a clicker. It's just too cool. It could be bad. We've got the scripture up. That's a good thing. Is everybody doing okay? Yeah, okay. If you can, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Hear this reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the text. If you memorize this text as a child from some other version, feel free to say it as I read it from this text. It won't bother us all, and God would love to hear his people say something. So let us hear this text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. For voices that raise the word of God in song. For those of us who can't sing very well, but sure enjoy it when it happens. For those of us who have read this word out loud, and ones in silent, and for the very word itself, we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. 33 years ago, at Carson Newman College, I'm a Carson Newman graduate, good Baptist school, and so I just know that. Had to throw that in. My wife and I met there. She and I were taking a summer class on time management. She made an A. I passed. You'll learn that. It was one of those summer classes that you kind of went in the morning, you kind of stayed during the day, you had a break and you stayed a little in the afternoon, and we went down to the Eagle's Nest, as it was called then, to get a snack. Marilyn Mitchell, who I just met the day before, cute little thing, you know, she says she's 5 foot tall, go with that. And went down to buy some M&Ms. The guy at the counter, she was 2 cents short, said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but you can't have this because you need 2 cents. I figured I was worth 2 cents, so I went on and not only gave the 2 cents, but guess what I did? Being the gallant man that I am, I paid for the whole pack of M&Ms and back... Back then, that was 15 cents, amen? I think they're a dollar and a quarter now, but whatever. And so, thinking I'd paid for the M&Ms, I got to sit down with her and eat my peppermint patty. And she was there, and we sat and talked. Now, she didn't have to take that from me. She could have said no to the 2 cents. But I think she wanted the M&Ms a whole lot more than she wanted to sit and talk with me, but she paid the price, and we sat and talked. That was in June. On November 5th of that same year, she and I got married. It's lasted okay. 33 years this November. 3 kids. Lindsay, who you've met, Cynthia, the second crowd we'll meet, and Gracie Ann. We have a 31-year-old, a 29-year-old, and a 7-year-old. Y'all let that sink a minute. And so our life essentially begins because I gave her 15 cents for some candy, and I've been giving her 15 cents worth of trouble ever since then. If you think about it, though, she could have refused the gift, right? She could have said, no, not going to take it. Don't like you. You're ugly. Got a beard. Long hair. Had hair then. You know, you got hair flowing it. Had hair. But instead she said yes. See, part of the problem of us, the church, the world, is that we're not real good at accepting gifts. I like this guy. He's the antithesis of me. Look at him. If you can read the caption, which most of you can't, so I'll read it for you. What one thing will you begin today to help you get in shape? Now, I kind of wish I was in his shape. He looks like he weighs, what, maybe 100 pounds? I know I wish I had his hair. If you look at him, the caption says, what will he do today to get in shape? The scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave. I wonder how much time we spend trying to fix ourselves. Have you ever thought about that? I've been on a diet since 1948, and I've only been alive since 1956. I came out plump. I live plump. I like plump. But Marilyn keeps me on a diet. I get to, does this scare people if I go here? Okay, all right. If it does, I'm sorry. If it starts feeding back, y'all will tell me, right? All right. You know, if I try to fix me, guess what always happens? Every time I fix me, it becomes a mess. It's not to say I shouldn't do the right things, shouldn't study, shouldn't read, shouldn't prepare, shouldn't do all the things I'm supposed to do. But there's a core central figure in the process. If Jesus isn't the one, in the case of John 3:16, God so loved the world that God gave, if they're not the core central understanding of what we do, we lose the fact of who we are. We mess up trying to think that we can fix whatever needs fixing. And it's not that we don't do our part, but our part has to begin with God's part. Our part has to begin with what God teaches. Our part has to begin with what God leads us through. Our part has to begin with the gift that God gives us. If we don't take the gift, we can't fix, we can't go forward. If the central theme of this church is not God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, if we don't believe in prevenient grace that he offers himself to us even before we know we need God, if we don't believe those things, then all we have to lean on is the stuff we do. And the stuff we do won't get us anywhere but stuff. Now, all the same things that we do that are really good things to do, if they're done in the Holy Spirit's leadership and if done with God's grace with us and we move forward with God's power in us, then the things we do can cause and will change us and the community around us. But it has to be centrally located in the gift. Now, y'all remember this gift, right? Y'all know this gift. We're going to celebrate it here in just a few months. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You remember that, right? Amen? Yes? Yes? Okay. You believe that, right? Y'all believe that? Y'all can see that too, right? Y'all believe that. If you don't believe that, that he came incarnate, then how in the world do we get to the cross? We've got to be able to walk the path with God. See, I'm not here. Let me just share something with y'all. I mean, some of y'all blessed people have just welcomed us such a wonderful way. I mean, thank you so much for welcoming us. But I'm not your fix. I'm on the journey with y'all. It is my goal. Now, your staff passed me, Larry, forgive me for this. You can beat me later, okay? They asked for a 55 or younger person. Okay, I'm not. They also asked for somebody with energy. I got that. That's a problem for y'all. I got the energy. It'll burn out eventually. But my goal is to serve y'all until I retire at age 72. That's 12 years from now. Y'all may not be able to handle me that long. But I want to serve till, and the reason 72 is the age, anybody know why that's the age? You know, I'm at the church, tells me I got to retire at age 72. It is not death, no. Did somebody say that? What? Gracie. Yeah, well, that's another whole conversation there, Gracie. Jeez Louise. In case y'all don't know, she really is my daughter. Can you tell? If you look at Gracie, look at me. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, so understand something. My goal is to walk alongside of you. I'm going to lead. I'm going to teach. We'll do Bible studies. We'll do all the things we're supposed to do. But the gift has already been given. Has it not? Amen? I'm not going to tell you something you don't know. I'm going to remind you of something you might have lost. And we're going to tell people who may not know about the gift. God so loved the world that gave his only begotten son. Okay, I went to King James there on you, so I grew up Baptist, okay, so you forgive me. That whosoever believes. Now, let's define whosoever for a minute. Who gets left out of whosoever? Quiet? Anybody?
Nobody.
So whosoever means even I can do it, right? And all my faults, all my failures, all that I am. It doesn't forgive the fact that I need to hear what God tells me to do. But whosoever believes can have eternal life. The whosoever part is non-negotiable. It's in the book. I don't care which translation you read. Sound like my Baptist preacher there. I got to quit that. You know, even here, it says, so that everyone who believes in him. It's an everyone. It's a whosoever. It's a understanding that when Jesus died on the cross and he did this, he didn't say, everybody but you. And so when we have to understand that if we grasp the understanding of whosoever. So our job, you say it in your own information. What is the goal of this church? To win people to Christ for?
Disciples.
Disciples of Christ. Transformation of the world, right? That's us. Is that us? Well, if we believe the first two, then we got to go with this dude. Get up, get going. There's meaningful work to be done. Now, do y'all feel like him ever? I love this guy. I have a dear friend, Chris Holmes, The first and third picture is from him. Middle picture is way too holy for Chris to send. And so this is from Chris. Dear friend of mine, every now and then he sends us out to pastors who we know. Look at this guy. Can y'all make that face? Y'all not having any fun, are you? Come on. Look at this guy. I don't know anything about this community yet at all. Like I said, it takes me a GPS to get here. All right? But I bet I can guess a couple things. There's people in this community who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if we don't tell them about them, there's going to come a day when they're going to meet their Maker and not know God. And if they do that and I haven't told them about them, shame on me. And I intend to tell them. You're not used to people walking out here, are you? I can tell that by the look in your eyes. I can tell this is not what you're used to. Sorry. Not much, but sorry. Think about it. This is personal. Did you see my grandbaby? Leah, blonde hair. Don't know where she got that from. Calvin, you have blonde hair as a kid? Ash, from you. Okay, I blame you. Cool. That is the wildest young I think I've ever seen. She's not going to not know about Jesus. It's personal. It's personal. She probably knows more about Jesus than I do at this point, but let's be fair. But it's personal. The young men and women that met me at the altar for the children, it's personal. They may already know Christ as their Savior. I don't know them. But it's personal. The people that go to our elementary schools, our middle schools, and our high schools, the folks who are hooked on drugs, y'all got a drug problem in this area? I just came from the drug capital of Southwest Virginia. We've been developing programs for folks on drugs for the last 7 years to get people off drugs and help them find their way. It's personal. And why do I put it that way? The only way people change is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how people change. And if the church has forgot that, we have forgot who we are. We have forgot our way. We have forgot exactly what God has called us to be. And I'm not worried about what your sins are. I got mine. You don't trade. I'm not worried about what my sins are. I'm not worried about your sins. I'm not worried about any of those things. Here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about y'all singing to the glory of God and tell people about Jesus so they'll know Christ as their Savior. That's what I'm worried about. Y'all do it well. Thank you. But that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about our Sunday school classes, which you're going to be late to, and you can ask, you can tell them it's my fault. I won't do this to you again, but you know, you only get one shot at your first sermon, right? Amen? Next time we'll make sure you're here on time. I'll do it good. I'll have Mary Lynn do this to me. Shut up, David. She'll do this, you know. And so, you know, she'll be after me, and so she's good at that. All that stuff. But today, there's work to be done. There's just work to be done. Don't y'all agree? I know you do because you're busy. You have activities. You try to take care of people. There's work to be done. And I hate to break this to you, but if we don't do it, God will find another church that will. And God didn't plan us here to let somebody else do our job. So we're going to work. Not that you hadn't been to work, but I wasn't here. So we're going to find out. Now, friends, I hope and pray as I finish that you hear my heart. I can be strong. I can be hard-headed, go and say, amen, mama. I can be direct. But it's about your souls. It's about the souls of people of this community. It's about the souls of the people of this world. It's just about the fact that when Fred Deering, my dear friend, talks about the fact that they dug a well in a refugee camp in Uganda so that the dear children of South Sudan who I've supported now have water to drink. And they've started 9 churches in a refugee camp. Probably not the easiest place to start a church in. And they've won 60 people to Jesus in 9 churches and refugee camps in Uganda. You know, that's not a bad plan. Refugee camps are. Winning people to Christ aren't. We need to be doing the same thing right here. We can plant a well. May not be water, but it'll be something. I want you to hear my heart. It's personal because Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'll never be anything but that. I'll never change but anybody but that one person. A sinner saved by grace. And if that's my profession, all I'm asking you to do is join this sinner saved by grace and change this part of our world for Jesus. Now, y'all go pray about that. Or, as we do our closing hymn, you can pray about it right here in this altar. Don't know if y'all do altar calls, but I just did. It's open. I'll pray with you if you desire me to. If you lift your hand, I'll be happy to pray with you. Otherwise, I'll leave you alone and let you pray to the Lord yourself. Be in prayer. The puppy's got it. Get up. Get going. There's meaningful work to be done. We're off of this sermon. Words that have been said. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.